Welcome to the Preservation Technology Podcast, the show that brings you the people and projects that are bringing innovation to preservation. I'm Kevin Ammons with the National Park Service's National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. Today we join Jason Church as he talks with students from the University of Hawaii at Hilo. In this podcast, they talk about the students' cemetery preservation work at Kalaupapa National Historic Park.
You've been here now for a week and a half doing cemetery work here at Kalaupapa. So introduce yourselves and let's talk about what you've been doing.
My name is Darian Marie Kaya'okulanea Kealoha. I go by Darian.
Aloha, my name is Nanea Ikealaola Victoria Thomas, and I go by Nanea.
Aloha, o Kori Ko'inoa. My full name is Kori Ko'okane Pacheco, but you can call me Kori.
Aloha oe, my name is Kinohi Pukawa o Kamehameha Nevis, and you can call me Kinohi.
Aloha, my name is Sheldon Takeshi Kionika Vikoana Lani Rosa, and you can call me Sheldon.
What interested you in doing this project? Why here and why the cemeteries?
Well, first, before I think we talk about the importance of being here, we should talk a little bit about the history of this space. And so where we are located right now is a peninsula on the island of Molokai, and it's called Kalaupapa. This peninsula in pre-contact time had Native Hawaiians living and residing here. But in 1866, that's when the first leprosy patients were brought to this settlement. So there were 9 of them. There were 6 men and 3 women. And at that point in history, Hawaii was experiencing a very drastic change in the way that our Native populations dealt with leprosy and how our ancestors were dealing with that disease, which at the time had no cure. And so this settlement, which is about 2 by 2 miles long and wide, totally trapped off from the rest of our islands because of the 2,000-foot pali or cliffs on one side and then being surrounded completely by ocean on the other side. And so you can think of it as a natural prison. And so when our government was dealt with the leprosy endemic that was occurring, the Board of Health decided to take these people from our communities who were dealing with leprosy and put them in this landlocked prison of some sort. And so that started in 1866. And since then, it ended in 1969. And in between 1866 and 1969, roughly 8,000 patients were brought to this peninsula. And so the reason that we're here is because that 8,000 plus patients that were buried here and died here have graves and markers, not all of them, but those that do have that, we're here to just malama, take care of them.
Mahalo Kori for all of his mana'o. It's important to go through the history because when you hear the history, you'd assume that everyone would want to be here. But for a lot of schools, and this was brought up during our week here, that sometimes this subject is not covered in our classes. I know in my education, it wasn't really a subject that in school. As he mentioned, there's 8,000 patients. And during our work days here, we've seen a lot of familiar names. Some family members that we didn't know had family here, and maybe they don't even know our friends or connection here. For me, my parents have always told me that there was a family member that was resident here that drew me into being a part of the class, being involved, and to reconnect that family tie.
Like Kori and Kinohi said, this place has a lot of very important history. Here in Kalaupapa, for a lot of us students, it's personal history. We are called here not only a privilege, but a great honor to be able to come to this space and malama the each and every single grave on this peninsula. A lot of us were called here because we do have family here, whether we are able to identify their tombstone or not. Every single grave on the peninsula is ohana to each and every one of us, and it's very special too when we do find our ohana, because whether you see the name or you hear someone say the name out loud and you're like, oh, that's my ohana, it's bigger than an aha moment. It's that connection that just it roots you even more to this space and really makes you appreciate just being able to be here.
To go off of what Nanea was saying and then to go all the way back to Jason's question about why we apply, it was something that Kumukai mentioned in one of her history classes, was just that she was gonna have this class and if you wanna do it, complete the application with the essay. And when I did the essay, it was the first time that I really thought about whether or not I have a connection here or how much my family doesn't know about Kalaupapa. And when I started to ask my family members, they didn't even know what island Kalaupapa was on or like what it really was. All they knew was, oh yeah, some Hawaiians got sent there and they were isolated from everyone else. When Kumukai put it out there that we were gonna come to Kalaupapa, it felt like a tugging sensation and it felt like something I had to apply for and I had to make sure that I was gonna come here and I was gonna be able to be on this trip. And like everyone has said, we all have connections, but we don't always know about it. Yeah, so the more I learned about Kalaupapa, the more questions I asked my family. And I found out that I did have family here. And had I not gotten that tugging sensation to come to Kalaupapa, I wouldn't have asked about our family history here, or even if we had history here. When we went to Iliopi'i, just so happens that my family was there that day. I didn't think much of it when somebody told me, oh, I found a kahiri kolo over here, maybe check it out. As soon as I got to the grave, I burst into tears. But yeah, and I think everybody saw me just like crying on the side to myself. That was something that kind of brought it all together for me, was that feeling of connection to my family and to my culture that I don't really get to experience that often.
That we can clean the gravestones and how we can malama and take care of the kupuna so that we can remember and we can pass on their stories. Because, you know, now we all have a kuleana here. We all didn't get to experience this teaching of what Kalaupapa is and what the trauma that these patients went through. So we all have a responsibility here to teach this to our children, to the next generation, to make sure that they know this history. Because if we don't pass it on, then it's gone.
Today, Kumukai asked me a question in the field when we were working, and she said, Cody, are you learning things from this workshop? What have you learned, if anything? And amongst the many things that I listed to her in response to that question was that the ability and skills that I've gained in learning how to malama and take care of these gravestones and the connections that are built when you take care of them is something that I'm going to take home to my family's graves. And I know when, as a kid, my family would always on Sundays go to a cemetery where a lot of my ohana is buried. And it's been a while since we've gone, but I know that a lot of our graves of my ohana is falling apart or the soil is running away. And just being in this workshop, like constantly I'm thinking about how now I have the tools and the skills and the desire more to go back home and take care of that ohana that I know deserve more. And so I really appreciate that from this workshop.
Like Cody said, how to properly tend to cemeteries, specifically gravestones, and thinking about the gravestones that I can access and tend to back at home. When I was young, my mom used to take us to Kona side of the island, which is where most of my family's buried, and me and my siblings were never allowed to eat McDonald's. And so when we'd visit the cemeteries, we'd buy one bag full of all cheeseburgers and would go eat our little McDonald's at the cemetery. And then I didn't like pickles, so I would give pickles to the grave sites, and then the fries that don't make it into the little fries box that would get dumped in the bottom of the bag would dump it on the grave so that they could enjoy the meal with us. And so now going home, I can do more than just give them my pickles. I can, you know, properly scrub them, pull the weeds, and tend to them. So I'm really excited and grateful to have learned all this knowledge on proper tombstone care and take that home to my ohana there. When we think about it, there are over 8,000 people buried here, and only about 1,000, a little over 1,000 of which are visibly marked graves. And so when we research them and then see their graves, each person gets to, you know, malama their person a little bit extra. And then when they tell their story, it's a way for us to do a small part in making sure that each person is remembered.
As Sheldon was talking about how he talked to Uncle Mike and that he describes this place as a forgotten place, I would say for whoever's listening, that connection to us should be that wherever our grandparents or our uncles and aunties or whoever is buried, that place doesn't become a forgotten place as well. That we learn from Kalaupapa that where our family is buried doesn't become Kalaupapa as well. That we stay connected just as we reconnected here in this place.
On the first day when Jason, Molly, and Rusty was talking to us about what we're going to be doing for our time here, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said to ask for consent before scrubbing the graves. And when they said that, I thought it was funny because we all knew we were going to do that anyway, that we were going to ask for permission to be in that space with our kupuna before we were in the first place. And then something else to mention is that Auntie Mikiala took some time to explain to us the different signs of our kupuna saying, okay, yeah, you guys can come in, it's okay. And some of the ones that she talked about was hearing the manu, or like the bird chirping. Is it a happy chirping or is it like a warning chirping? If it's a happy one, then obviously, yeah, you can go in. If it's a warning, then maybe we should go somewhere else, or maybe we should work on something else. Or it can be like the change in temperature in the wind, or a feeling that you get knowing that it's okay to go in or it's not okay to go in.
I would like to say thank you, Hoku and Jason, Rusty, and Molly for coming down, as well as NPS for allowing us in here. Thank you for hosting us and giving us this awesome opportunity to give back to our community, give back to Hawaii, to the patients that lived here, giving us the opportunity to reconnect with these people and to connect back to Kalaupapa. We now all have a kuleana that we need to awamo or carry, a responsibility to carry, and we're thankful that you opened that avenue and that gate for us to be able to explore this and to learn how we can learn how to take care of our kupuna. It's been an awesome experience, and it's going to be a memory that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life. Kind of ending it on Hemu, it's a protocol we do before we leave so that all the negative energies, spirits perhaps, you know, they never seen people in a long time sometimes. So when they see us young people coming down, they get excited and they want to talk. So we do this just to tell them like, goodbye, please stay where you are and don't follow us back, and just to leave them where they should be, because you don't want to be taking this energy with you because it can affect your life. That's what a lot of people have been saying to me before I came here, like, don't bring anything back. So they gave me a bunch of salt. I'm like, make sure you leave Kalaupapa at Kalaupapa. But yeah, just making sure we let them know, like, okay, we are leaving, and you know, a hui ho, like, never aloha, but always a hui ho until we meet again.
Thank you for listening to today's show. If you would like more information, check out our podcast show notes at www.ncptt.nps.gov. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.